I've come to a place where I've come to the conclusion that the only good Democrat is a dead Democrat. I don't say that in the physical sense, and I can already see the videos getting edited where it says, I want to go murder Democrats. No, I say that in the political sense because the Democrat agenda and policy is anti-American right now. It's where our country's not coming to a place if you love or hate Donald Trump. Our country's coming to a place if you love or hate America, because that's what it's boiling down to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Fire You Can't Put Out. My name is Melvin, and I want to thank you so much for being here. So this gentleman is from a group that has a pretty good following on Twitter, and the group is called Cowboys for Trump. And he decided that this week would be a good idea to call for the killing of Democrats. Now, this is a game that these folks play where they say, I mean in the political sense. I don't want you to actually go on and come. I mean in the political sense, but it's not true, because that's exactly what they mean. The president tweeted out this week, after the White House got surrounded by protesters, he tweeted that maybe it should be MAGA night at the White House. And what he's asking is he's asking for people to show up outside the White House and begin killing the protesters that made him feel bad. Insane things like this get said all the time, saying that Democrats should be killed because of what they believe, which is insane. When it happens in other countries, we say when people get killed for their religious beliefs, we believe that that's a terrible and awful thing. Why? Because they're being killed over what they believe, and something that they believe is nonviolent, then there's no way you should talk about killing them. But there's always enemies. And so for people to say that Democrats should be killed for what they believe in, the last episode I did was called A Conversation with a Con. I've not identified that con. I imagine I'll have to at some point. But that was the most striking thing that I took from that conversation. It took this conservative that I was talking with no time whatsoever to talk about how the governor of Washington State needs to be killed. And I've said this, I can't do it. And I hear people get upset with Trump, too, and they say, maybe Trump should be killed. And I just stop. No. No, we shouldn't be killing anybody. And that's the point. And I'm not sure why that particular rule is so hard for folks to live by. If something annoys you, you don't kill it. You move on. Now, if that thing is threatening you, we've got ways of dealing with that, but killing is not the way that we get things done. So this guy from Cowboys for Trump that suggested that people who oppose the president should be killed, politically he means. I came by this tape not because I follow Cowboys for Trump, but because I follow Donald Trump on Twitter. And Donald Trump retweeted this 4 days ago, and I saw it when it first came up, and I decided to check on it before I got onto the air here again today. I say on the air, but I'm recording in a studio in my house, and this is just a podcast. And I checked to see if it was still up, because the White House has said that these tweets are the official statements from the president, and the president sent out a tweet of a gentleman saying that Democrats should be killed politically. So the official statement from the president and the White House is that people who oppose the president should be killed. That's one of the things that happened this week. And it's still not a guarantee. There's still no guarantee that this guy is going to lose the election, even after calling for violence against people who do not agree with him. Another point. He decided to designate Antifa this week as a terrorist organization. Good luck with that. There is no group called Antifa. There is no figurehead. There is no organization. We do not have monthly meetings. We do not have hats and t-shirts. There is a symbol that has long been associated with Antifa, but otherwise, what he's saying with this tweet, because I'm Antifa. I'm an anti-fascist. That's all that it means. So if you're anti-fascist, that makes you Antifa. For the president to say that anybody who is Antifa is now a terrorist, there's no way to enforce that because Antifa is not a group. But what he is saying is that if you oppose him, he sees you as a terrorist. And if he sees you as a terrorist, he sees you as a domestic terrorism group. I might be mistaken on this, but it might fall under the Patriot Act that you can be arrested and held without due process, because that's the way we decide and be labeled as an enemy combatant and have no due process. And just this is how we get away with things like Guantanamo Bay. Or how we got away with things like Guantanamo Bay is because we said those are enemy combatants and they don't have the same rights as Americans. And so by him declaring this, this is him saying that you're a criminal if you oppose him. This is the way dictatorships work. Could you imagine if, say, Barack Obama had said, we need to kill them politically, or the only Republican... the only good Republican is a dead Republican. Could you imagine if Obama had said that? My God, these white crybabies would be filling the streets. You think that you think what you're seeing out there now is bad? Think about how white people responded to the fact that they couldn't go to sit-down restaurants and they couldn't get haircuts because we're in the middle of a pandemic. And we're trying to stop that pandemic from killing tons and tons of people. Think about how all the people responded to that. All the people, and those are all Trumpers. They're all there with the Trump flags and their white power flags, and they were all Trumpers. Think about how they responded to that. Could you imagine how they would have responded had our black president said that the only good, or tweeted out a message from somebody who said the only good Republican is a dead Republican? Could you imagine? But our president did it. And it's just another day. So Dan Bongino was on Fox News this week, and Dan Bongino gets retweeted by the president regularly. He's a neo-Nazi right-wing talk show host. When he was on Fox News this week, and the only reason they bring him on is they know he's going to say terrible, horrible, awful, no good, because he's an awful human being. They brought him on this week, and he tried the same thing that the president tried. How should we handle these people?
Dan, you talk about the church, St. John's. It's an Episcopal church. And I was reading this morning that thankfully the sanctuary was not damaged. They burned out the nursery that had just been renovated down in the basement. That's where children go to learn about Christ. And that's on fire because of these looters and these people that are out there protesting. How do we fix this problem, Dan?
The Bill Barr and the president need to legally decapitate Antifa today. We need a high-profile FBI arrest right now, whether it's, I think it's 18 USC, I think it's 2101 for rioting today. We need this. We need full mobilization of our National Guards in every state. This isn't the time to say, well, we don't have riots here. I don't care if you're in Wyoming or downtown Miami. We have to shut this down now. Get a lid on this right now. We have to do other things as well. I think it wouldn't be a bad idea for local mayors and municipalities to consider bringing some retired law enforcement, able and willing, to come back and help in a support role.
All right. So what Mr. Bongino is calling for there is he's calling for the legal. Now, they love to do this where they really want to say, let's just kill everybody who disagrees with us. But then they throw words like, well, we don't want to physically kill them. We want to politically kill them. We should legally decapitate. We don't want to really decapitate them. We want to legally decapitate them. This kind of violent language means the exact same thing. Just because they throw the word legal in front of it doesn't make it any less worse. And let's not forget, the difference between something that is legal and illegal, that's only according to the laws that we write. It used to be legal to lynch black people. It used to be legal to have school separation, to separate the races in the schools. That's another thing that I want to remind everybody about. The fact that this is coming to a head right now, and what you're going to hear and what you're going to see, a lot of it may not make sense to you. I have never, ever not been aware of the black struggle. But let me preface with this. I am white. I do not have the same experience that African Americans have. My interactions with police are overwhelmingly positive. I don't get side-eyed all the time. When I read about the black experience, it's impossible to ignore. None of these things happen to me as a white male in America. But they are happening to our brothers and sisters. And because my formative years were spent in largely African-American neighborhoods, I have never not been aware of this struggle. The very first music that I was exposed to as a child was country western music. That was my mother. She was from Montana. That was her world. But it took little to no time for me to be exposed to hip-hop music. And that happened straight away. That happened before kindergarten. And all of that music was about the struggle. And then, of course, I'm living in these African-American neighborhoods, and the struggle is all around me. And I only became more and more aware of that struggle as I got older. I've never, ever not been aware of this struggle. And now that this is happening, now that people are marching in the streets, and think about all the dumb crackers at the state houses with their guns demanding haircuts and seating at a restaurant. Think about that. And they just want their freedom. Well, what these African Americans are doing right now is they want their freedom. You say, but we're post-racial. We had a black president and this, that, and the other. We are not post-racial. I want everyone to get this in your head and just let it sit there for a minute. A lot of the people that protested the integration of schools, that is where black people and white people can go to the same schools. A lot of the people that protested the integration of those schools are still alive. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And if you think that they did not raise their children with those racist values, you're sorely mistaken. The reason we've had this for 400 years is not just how long we had slavery, but it's how hard that so many white people have fought against the end of slavery and the integration of the African Americans that they brought here on boats into our society. That's why this is still going on. Black people have not had very many freedoms for very long. And even those freedoms, and I put freedom with an asterisk, even those freedoms were fairly limited. I read an article recently in the New York Times called Running While Black, and it was an article about 10 different people, and they all gave their experiences of running while black. I can't run in this neighborhood because I get side-eyed. I can't run in this neighborhood because I get yelled at. I can't run in this neighborhood. One woman, you know, threatened to mace a runner one time because he stopped when she was watering her lawn and complimented the car in her driveway because it was like an old – it's like an old 50s or 60s car that like the husband had fixed up. And he's, man, that's a great car. She goes, I've got mace. That's the black experience. And African Americans have been saying these things for a long time. And we've been continually dismissive. Think about all of the unarmed black killings. And I know what I'm going to hear right now. Racists, just effing save it. You don't get to deny that unarmed black people are being murdered all the time. Think about what Colin Kaepernick did, and he wasn't the first to try to bring all of our attention to this. And what happened? He was called a son of a bitch. He can't even work in the NFL anymore because they say he's too toxic. We can't have him out there. Now, remember, the NFL is still full of dudes who beat the piss out of women all the time just for fun. And that's okay. But for Cap to take a knee, to get it in everyone's consciousness about the fact that unarmed black people are being killed all the time? Yeah, that's not okay. Yeah, that can't happen. And Cap will never work again because of it. Think about The Hate U Give, the book, The Hate U Give, which was also a major blockbuster movie. The Hate U Give starts getting read in American schools, and white Christian conservatives start losing their effing minds. I've read The Hate U Give, and I recommend it for everybody. As a matter of fact, I think it should be mandatory reading for a whole bunch of white people to get together and go, "We don't care what black people think." Well, actually, what they said was, the book is anti-cop, which just shows that none of these crackers read it. But when you read the book, it gives you a perspective. It gives you the black perspective. And I feel like the writer tried to capture the way everybody feels. But because the writer was black and the main character was black, and there is a killing of an unarmed black man in the book, it's black folk trying to make white people listen. This is what's happening. This is the way we feel. Please listen to us and please do not dismiss us. And they were continually dismissed. The Black Lives Matter movement. As soon as the Black Lives Matter movement becomes recognized as a movement, here comes white people with their crybaby ass slogan about all lives matter. Stop it. You can't hijack their slogan and make it about you. But that's exactly what happened the minute we got the Black Lives Matter slogan. We got the All Lives Matter slogan because white people had to make it about them again. A couple of years ago, Amazon decided to start selling Black Lives Matter gear on their website. And do you know who they heard from? Not just American conservatives who didn't want it to be for sale. And we're going to boycott Amazon because how goddamn dare they? But they heard from a lot of police departments around the country who said, "Hey, we don't think you should be selling the Black Lives Matter gear." Police departments, "We don't think you should be selling the Black Lives Matter gear." How are we going to get out of this? A couple of things. First of all, we need, as white people, we need to start recognizing the black experience. And understand that just because it's not happening to us as white people doesn't mean it's not happening to anybody and that we should just get to go ahead and dismiss black people. No, 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 no. We need to recognize that this is happening and we need to recognize that it's systemic. There is a brother in blue code. There's a great article about this over at the New York Times. And what we need to understand is that this is just what's shared between officers. And that is, no matter what my fellow officer does, it's just fine. Like, you're going to have their back no matter what. Nobody talks about the brother in blue code, but that's what it is. And that's what these blue lives flags are about, too. And I say this not as a person who's anti-cop. I've shared this on this show before. That was my job. I didn't do that job. That was the job that I wanted to do. I was a young man. I wanted to grow up and I wanted to be a police officer. Why? Well, I understood the problems in the black community with the police. And I felt like if I became an officer, I could make that better. And obviously the other reason is me as a white guy. I almost felt welcome in the police department because I almost never had a negative encounter with the police, unlike my African-American brothers and sisters. We are in a civil rights struggle right now again. And the thing that needs to happen with the police department is we need to start having tons and tons and tons more training. And I almost think that you should be exempted from becoming a police officer if you are an authoritarian or if you are a racist. If you are flying a Gadsden flag, you should not get to be a police officer. The blue lines, the blue line, the thin blue line flag, the blue lives freaking flag, But you don't get to do that with this Blue Lives Matter crap. Black people didn't choose to be black, but you chose to be a cop. Unfortunately, that flag has become a symbol of hate because the white supremacists who support the killing of these black people fly those flags. So you need to stop flying no more Gadsden flag. If you're flying the Confederate flag, same goddamn thing. If you fly the Confederate flag, you do not get to be a cop. You don't have to be neutral. You don't have to be in the middle. You don't have to be a liberal. It's fine if you're a conservative. But if you are so far to the right that you're an authoritarian and you're a white supremacist and you're flying white supremacist flags, you don't get to be a cop. I know that's going to infuriate a few people, but I'm fine with that. Because you have to be able to understand the community in which you work. And you say, well, you know what? I work in a white town, in a white state, in a white this, in a white that. Eventually, you're going to encounter an African-American because African-American people are everywhere. And if you're automatically, if you've got prejudice against them, I don't care if you work in the middle of goddamn Kentucky, you don't get to be a cop. These are not your adversaries. You're a cop and you enjoy a level of immunity. And that's fine because it makes it possible for you to do your job. But you also need to understand that you are there to help. The old slogan, protect and serve. We're not all your adversaries. You're there to protect us and yourself and to serve us as a public servant. That officer that had his knee on George Floyd's neck for over 8.5 minutes was neither protecting himself or George, nor was he serving himself or George. On top of being arrested, that man's wife, the man who killed George Floyd, his wife has now filed for divorce. So things have gotten pretty bad for him, but I think that they thought that the arrest was going to be enough. Like, that's what'll stop the protests in the streets. Uh-uh. It's not enough. We need to have an actual conversation about this. And the murder of black people has to stop. And we have to stop pretending that it's not there. And when people like Kaepernick try to bring our attention to this, when people like the author of The Hate U Give try to bring our attention to this, when the Black Lives Matter groups try to bring our attention to this, we can't dismiss them anymore, and they should have never been dismissed in the first place. I want to highlight a couple of things for you. So in Vancouver, Washington, a member of the school board this week decided to tweet out about how we should be using fire hoses. The man's name is Mark Stoker. He works for the Vancouver School District in Vancouver, Washington, in Southwest Washington. And he tweeted out and later apologized, which means absolutely dick. He tweeted out that we should be using fire hoses on these people. And of course, Trump tweeted out that we should be using dogs on them. Fire hoses and dogs were what we used against black people during the civil rights movement in the 60s. So they're not even kind of trying to hide their racism. And Mark Stoker, you can take an effing hike. What a horrible human being you are. And don't try to pretend like you're unaware of history. You work for the damn school district. If you've seen the protests on television, you've probably seen the acronym ACAB being sprayed on the police cars and on the walls as graffiti. It's pretty easy to look up, but I just want to let you know what that is. And it's the exact same thing as 13, 12, which are the numerical assignments for the letters. ACAB stands for All Cops Are Bastards. And I disagree. I don't think that's a good place to start either, because for police to say, you know, for police to treat African-Americans like they're all criminals, that in and of itself is a crime. And for us to say things like, or to spray paint things like ACAB, that all cops are bastards, or 1312, which is the exact same meaning, that is not a good way for us to start a conversation with the police by automatically assuming all of them are criminals. Now, I know that this doesn't mean that all cops are bad. I know my experience with them has been largely good. But the evil ones, the awful ones, the racist ones, the white supremacists, like those guys are ruining it for all the good guys. And we don't see the good guys, okay? We don't hear about the white officer that helped the black motorist, okay? We don't hear about, you know, the white officer who stopped maybe a rape against a black woman. We don't hear those stories because those things happen all the time. And they're supposed to happen, but we hear about the murder of, say, Trayvon Martin by a white supremacist because that's not supposed to happen. Or the murder of George Floyd because that's not supposed to happen. Or any of the other black folks in recent years, especially, that have been killed unarmed, that have been killed by the police. Why do we hear about those things? Well, the media is glorifying. They're not glorifying it. They're pointing it out because it's not supposed to happen. So it is June. We are heading into Pride Month. And I just want to remind everybody what the world looked like 5 years ago. That was 2015. And I remember this. The White House is always lit up. The lights outside never go off. But the White House was lit up during the month of June on several nights with the rainbow flag, the whole White House. I remember I used that photograph as my screensaver on my computer forever because I loved it, because it made my gay brothers and sisters feel included. Like it says, the White House is with you, and I just loved that. Fast forward 5 years, Donald Trump is president. He's a white supremacist. He doesn't like the gays. He doesn't like the blacks. And the White House went completely dark last night. They turned off the lights for the first time in years so that they could take Donald Trump down to a bunker and hide him from all the protesters that were outside protesting the fact that this neo-Nazi POS is still president. What a difference 5 years makes. And the last thing I want to get to before I duck out of here is the Lincoln Project. The Lincoln Project has put out another ad showing how the violence that's happening in America overwhelmingly is not coming from leftists. It's coming from Donald Trump supporters who fly the Confederate flag and who are openly racist. And the president is openly racist. And now that we have reached this point in history, the question that is asked in the ad is America or Trump? And I think that's a good question. Are you going to be an American or are you going to be a Trump supporter? Because you can't be both. Are you going to be a patriot or are you going to be a Trump supporter? The African American community has bared the brunt, outside of the folks who live in managed care, the old folks' homes. The other group that has lost just about more than anybody is the African American community, because they're the ones who usually end up in the projects. They're the ones who usually end up in these places that are heavily populated and low rent, and that has been wiping out their community. And then the other thing is the inner city violence, the violence that, yes, that happens between people that live in those communities, that's killing their people. And then when an officer decided that it was a good idea to kill somebody at this time, it's too much. And the African American Black Lives Matter, that they all have my full support. What about the looting? What about the rioting? Sorry, I think those are just opportunists. We can't let the message get lost because of those things that are happening. Yeah, there's a lot of inequality. And with riots, with protests, there's opportunity because there's way more of us than there are of them. Remember that when it comes to November. There are way more of us than there are of them. And don't forget to vote accordingly. We've all been living in America during all this time, with African Americans among us. But living is not enough. These folks need to be able to live with dignity. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfycpo. You can email us your comments, your questions, your hate mail, tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail. We lost a family member this week. O'Malley, we miss you, and we are thinking about you. Rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. A special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thank you for listening. This is Melvin signing off, and now that I have awoke you up, good morning.